only got 10 guys on the field.
Third down and 7. This one is launched for McLaurin. He's got it. Touchdown. Touchdown, Terry McLaurin.
Right, indeed, Terry McLaurin, another touchdown. Again, last year, 13 in the regular season, 16 overall. That's why he got paid. Whatever this turns out to be a true average annual value of, whatever this turns out to be structure-wise of, that's why he got paid. Make no mistake about it, it's not just because Terry McLaurin's a good guy. They don't really pay for good guys in the NFL. You know, there's been a lot of good guys that have not gotten paid, that have gotten cut. You got to be able to put the ball in the end zone. If you're a wide receiver, you got to be able to get open in the red zone. You got to be able to catch in the end zone. There have been good receivers with bad quarterbacks before. Terry didn't do it enough. Terry told me last year, halfway through the year at MetLife Stadium against those dastardly Giants, how hard he worked in the red zone, in the offseason, to really improve his get-off, his technique, his everything. He knew that's where his bread would be buttered. I mean, you go from 4 touchdowns to 13, and then you throw in another 3 in the postseason. You're going to get paid. That's why Terry got paid. That's why. Before we check in on AMAC's vacation and why he decided to wear a Giants shirt and a Giants hat to the studio today on Terry McLaurin Day, I just wanted to finish up, and before we get to Tyler and Richmond, hang on, Ty. The story I was telling you about with Daniil Medvedev and last night at the U.S. Open. So he's taking on this dude named Benjamin Bonzi, right? And it was at Louis Armstrong Stadium, so that's the old main stadium. It's now the secondary stadium to Arthur Ashe Court, right? So he winds up not only winning that third set, a point away from being eliminated on the play, on the situation in question, but then he wins the next set to force a fifth and deciding set. So he loses the first two sets, 6-3, 7-5. Then, again, a point away from losing and going down in straight sets to Benjamin Bonzi. He wins the third set, 6-7. And I always screw up with tennis. They put the parentheses. What is it again where it has a in parentheses, the 5?
I believe you're talking about tiebreaker. So it's the quickest.
Yeah, fifth tiebreaker, right?
Yeah.
Is that how it is? Right, so okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he loses, and then Bonzi loses 0-6, right, or 6-love in the fourth set. So now it's tied 2 sets apiece after this fracas or whatever you want to call it. And then Bonzi finds a way to win the fifth set 6-4 and ends Medvedev's night in a 5-set finale, late night. I fell asleep. I mean, I know it ended well after midnight. All the controversy, yelling at the official, the fans going bananas, Medvedev egging them on, then trying to calm them down. And then Bonzi said, you know, like, look, it's a great victory and all that stuff. But he said, I mean, the rule is the rule. The guy went on the court between 2 serves. I mean, it's not my call to say first serve. And I think, yes, Daniil started it, and he put oil on the fire. So apparently, chair umpire Greg Allensworth, who I saw on the mic quite a bit during this exchange, told the photographer to get off the court. Then he announced that Bonzi would get another first serve because of the delay, which is common in tennis. Medvedev then approached the chair to complain about the decision. And that's where I said, you could hear him on the mic going, he wants to go home, guys. He doesn't like to be here. He gets paid by the match, not by the hour. And so all of this fallout, but again, it leads to Medvedev almost winning the match. when he was 1 point away from getting swept, not just getting beat, swept in straight sets. It was crazy. I love the U.S. Open. AMAC, I know you like the U.S. Open.
I've worked it.
I know.
Yeah.
You're better than us.
No.
I just went there as a fan last year. I watch it every year.
Excuse me, you're better than us. Well, I've worked there and I couldn't afford to go there.
Well, it was not cheap.
Exactly.
Let me tell you, it was not cheap. But it was great. I mean, it's a great experience. It was great to be back home in New York and roaming around Flushing Meadows and you know, all that.
Yeah, with our Giants right down the street, you know.
Our Giants? What are you talking about?
Don't try to smirk this off.
What there's are you
a reason there's
about?
A reason why you talk about my clothes today so much.
I don't know if you know what I'm that's not true.
It's fine. It's fine.
I'm just wondering why at a Washington, D.C. radio station on Terry McLaurin Day, why you would single-handedly choose to come dressed in Giants garb.
Me single-handedly as opposed to, like, what, me and my mom choosing
it? Well, I mean, you know, I don't know who makes your clothing choices.
That would be me. Let me reassure anyone who is second guessing.
Nobody from your family lays out your clothes on your dresser at
not
night?
Not my family, not
Do
my
Do they pack your lunch?
I wish.
You wish.
Yeah, maybe I should start a group text like, hey, can someone pack my lunch?
Maybe it would save you from spending all that money on all those bougie salads, kind of like me.
Ding,
you
ding.
Could have a salad bucket
ding,
like
ding,
I do.
Ding. Exactly.
I mean, that just splashed all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just been wilting away and dressing since last night. It's all soft and soggy.
You started with the U.S. Open. Now somehow we got here. What were you going to say? I'm sorry. I feel like we went down
to... No, the U.S. Open is great, number one. Can't wait to go back and watch it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before football really starts going here, I know there was like five or six college games the other day, but I enjoy the first week or so of the U.S. Open, and then it just gets impossible because of football, both college and NFL.
Yeah.
But I love the energy and the buzz and the big city feel of the U.S. Open. Like, I know Wimbledon is Wimbledon. I got it. I don't need the Royals. I don't need, the first princess or whatever her name is coming out there and presenting trophy. I don't need any of that.
Yeah.
I don't need strawberries and cream.
Yeah.
I saw in an email real quickly, they have a specialty drink that they serve at the U.S. Open, right? And I had one last year. I tried it. And it's basically got like mini golf balls of melons on it. I'm trying to pull it up. I should have had this ready to go, but it has. Let me see here. Try to pull it up because I just read the story over the weekend. Oh, here it is. So it's called the Honey Deuce cocktail.
Ah, yes.
Have you ever seen this?
Yes.
Right.
I certainly heard of it. Yeah. I try not to, you know, when I'm working.
So Well, of course you shouldn't, right?
Yeah.
It's the in vogue drink at the U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm.
So I had one last year. It was a little bit too sweet for me.
Yeah.
I don't like sweet drinks, but it's got Grey Goose vodka, lemonade, Chambord raspberry liqueur. I don't know what that is.
Sounds expensive.
And it's totaled more than $12 million in sales for last year's U.S. Open. So I contributed to that. 350,000 Honey Deuce cocktails were purchased at last year's U.S. Open.
Wow.
Pretty incredible, right?
Yeah.
And again, they have, like, instead of tennis balls, like they have on a skewer, they have three honeydew melon balls.
Mm.
And I mean, that part was good. Again, the drink was too sweet, but if you like sweet drinks, you're going to love. I mean, it's refreshing. You know, it's of course served on ice. It's light. It's got lemonade. It's got all sorts of things, right? So if you're going to the U.S. Open ever, now, ever, wherever, get one of those. It's worth a shot. right? Even if you, again, don't like sweet, sweet drinks like me, it was worth, okay, I had it. You know, that was great. That was awesome. Anyway, long story short, speaking of New York, again, you chose to wear your Giants gear on Terry McLaurin Day, which was an unfortunate decision by you. Are you, is this telling us that A, you were in New York, New York for a week on vacation, resting and relaxing, and you just got a little bit of that New York blood pumped back in you, are you so confident that Big Blue, the G-Man, are going to waltz in here and kick the ass of Dan Quinn and the Commanders? What have you?
I would say neither. I wasn't in New York, New York. I was in Leeds, New York, which is probably 2 hours outside of the city.
Still qualifies.
yeah. 2 hours north of the city.
Were you in the state of New York, my friend?
Yes, I was in the state of New
York.
So
then you got New York, New York.
There are a lot of New Yorkers who, and someone who's from Buffalo, right? Like the Buffalo area?
I'm not from there.
Yeah, you lived there for a while.
I lived there
for a while. It's just so disrespectful to your whole state. Wow. You're trying to throw off the scent that you're actually a Giants fan. I understand.
See, this is not true. This is not true. I grew up on Long Island. Mm. I rooted for the Giants as a kid. As soon as I faithfully moved here 17, 18 years ago, I became a Commanders fan.
He's winking at me, everybody.
Fred. I'm not winking.
He's winking. Listen, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought this to the air.
I'm not winking at
you. That's my bad. That's my bad.
I bleed burgundy and gold. I mean, like, when I rip open the skin around my fingers, like the cuticles, right, because I can't stop biting my nails or the loose skin, right? It's a terrible habit. I often get, like, some blood, right? Not good, because I bite so hard. It literally comes out burgundy and gold.
Mm.
Not red.
You don't have to keep winking.
No. It literally comes out burgundy and gold.
I got you. Don't stop winking.
Just saying.
Just stop winking.
I'm okay. Just saying.
Got you.
So, again, you still haven't answered the question. Why on Terry McLaurin Day did you decide to dress it all dressed?
I mean, sometimes this is a new shirt. I got it before I went to New York. And I just love this hat. This is a nice little throwback Giants hat that I decided to get a while ago. And I just, you know, it was an early morning, like I pointed out earlier. I just decided to throw something on, and this was what was at the top of the drawer. So I just threw it on.
So you didn't methodically plan this?
No, I got dressed a lot earlier today. Mm. Just so happens that. But I mean, in you guys' case, I think you should root for me to wear Giants gear all the time now. If news like this is going to happen, you guys should be like, hey.
Fair point.
Hey, Mac hasn't wore Giants gear in a while. We should persuade him to do so we can get some good news for the Commanders.
That's a fair point, because now the one time that you wore Giants gear that good news for the Commanders happened, you're going to take that and run with it.
Well, it's not the one time I've done it.
How many other times has good news happened on a day in which you've worn your Giants gear here?
You know what's good news?
Inquiring minds want to know.
I mean, we wake up, Rooster, and we get to smell the fresh air, get on this radio station and talk sports.
Yeah.
And get paid for it. That's great news.
Yeah.
So I'd argue every day.
Okay. All right.
Not just the day I wear Giants gear.
It's a good point.
It's a good day.
It's a good point. All right. That's AMAC, but you had a good vacation.
Great.
I'm happy to have you back.
Yeah. I'm happy to be back.
I mean, you know, we were in good hands. Metal Chris took good care. Mad Max on Friday. It was a very chaotic week, but we missed you. I missed you.
Yeah. It's good to be back. It's good that we can talk about our Giants in commercial breaks. Now, I know you've missed that. I have been your safe haven for all things Giants. And now.
That is so untrue.
Everybody, you think it was a coincidence this guy let Mark talk the Giants? No. You know, the Rooster has some hidden agendas that, you know, I shouldn't really be saying this. He's going to be so upset with me. But listen, I'm glad to be back so we can talk these things during the commercial breaks. How good Malik Nabers looks. How excited we are because he finally has a quarterback that's not named Daniel Jones, an actual NFL quality quarterback
that's
now.
Daniel Jones abuse there, by the way. That's your starting quarterback in Indianapolis, my friend.
You know, the best for them. That's all I can say there. The best for
all
them.
All of these conversations that you say happen, I must have wax in my ears because I don't remember any of them.
I mean, you don't have to hear to talk.
But to converse, you have to be able to hear.
No, I just listen to you because I'm just such a great producer. I just listen to you talk about how much you love our Giants.
Okay. Oh, man. I guess I should expect this. I like to bust chops. AMAC likes to bust chops. So he came back fully loaded and ready to go to dish on Terry McLaurin Day. That's okay. That's all right. That's okay. It happens. All right, let's do this. Let's get to our guy Tyler here in Richmond. We've made him wait long enough. Sorry about that, Ty. Appreciate you as always. What's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, Chris? How you doing?
Hey, Tyler.
As the Commander season ticket holder, I'm excited about the McLaurin deal. I had no doubt that it was going to get done because if you think back to Adam Peters' San Francisco days, he was a part of a similar situation with Brandon Ayuk that came down to the wire. And with the additions that we made defensively in free agency, I think the sky's the limit for this team.
When you say the sky's the limit for the team, I get there's all sorts of reason for optimism, but if I asked you over under 12 wins this year, 12 wins was the mark last year, I mean, are you over that just because Terry's back, or are you a little pessimistic and doubtful that they can repeat the magic formula from last year? I can't remember where you're at on that, Ty.
I wouldn't be surprised if they regress a little bit, like 10 or 11. But I think the addition of McLaurin makes the offense even better. And as we saw against Cincinnati, first-team offense didn't miss a beat. And with the additions that we made defensively in free agency,
right,
I think the sky's the limit.
I got you. I appreciate you, Tyler. Thank you. I wouldn't say sky's the limit right now. I need to see more. And when we return, we're going to update you on another embattled wide receiver and tell you why, at least, and Tyler's totally entitled to his opinion, and it's not a bad one, why for me, the sky isn't the limit, at least right now. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, on the Team 980. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Stay with us.
Matched up in a lot of man coverage all day.
Looking that direction, here comes pressure again. Two Browns ran into each other. Daniels uncorks a deep shot. It's McLaurin inside the five.
Oh, money, 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 money. Terry McLaurin getting paid lots of that money. God, I wish I was his account. Good to be Terry McLaurin. So the only details still that we know, no structure, no whatever has leaked out, is $30 million signing bonus. That's fully guaranteed. My sense is that would be that's not the only fully guaranteed money, right? I mean, they may have given him a sweetener this year. They may have guaranteed the base salary next year. And if they did, like, so what's weird is my understanding is, like, if there is a guaranteed base salary, that's different than a roster bonus in terms of how they they operate and count that as true guarantee versus agent guarantees or total guarantees, but it gets a little lost in the woods, right? The bottom line is Terry's never going to have to struggle to put food on the table. We know that. And now he and his wife and whatever kids they have are set for generations and generations, right? Because you know, the money there is not going to people that are going to blow it. I mean, you know, He's going to take a nice vacation or two, obviously, which I guess is blowing money, but that's just kind of standard operating procedure, except for me. I never take nice vacations. Jacoby Myers of the Vegas Raiders met with Raiders team brass, according to multiple reports, and requested to be traded recently. The team, citing his value, said they had no plans to do so. Boy, where have we heard this before? Myers and the team attempted to negotiate a new contract, but could not come to terms. Huh. Where have we heard this before? Interesting. The Raiders are the Week 3 opponent. The Raiders are the Week 3 opponent for the Commanders. So we will see if Jacoby Myers is on that team. I guess there's been like zero progress, but you know, again, requested a trade. I mean, is there any more useless tactic? I mean, literally, these guys are killing themselves. That's why, EJ got mad at me to start the show. You could have done it a different way. The agent could have done it a different way. By constantly requesting trades and then re-signing contracts as soon as they pay you, you are diminishing the concept of requesting a trade. Requesting a trade used to mean something. It means nothing. I mean, you hear request a trade. Myles Garrett, he's doing 4,000 interviews at the Super Bowl. I want out of Cleveland. I hate Cleveland. I don't want to play there. I can't win there. Need to win a championship. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, as soon as they paid $40 million, Myles Garrett was, you know, jumping over a ladder to take Jimmy Haslam's money. Means nothing. It literally means nothing. All right. So I wanted to get that done. Jacoby Myers, we'll see. I would pretty much guess, I mean, he's going to be Week 3 with the Raiders here. He's due $10.76 million last year of his contract, coming off a 1,000-yard season. He'd prefer to play elsewhere. That's code for I'd prefer to go somewhere where they're going to pay me a lot more money than the Raiders are saying they're going to offer. Now, the Raiders, to be fair to them, right, Pete Carroll and John Spytek, they just took over. They want to see Jacoby Myers play for them in their scheme, in their system, with their coaches, with their personnel. Remember when Ron did a lot of bad things, but remember when Ron wanted Trent Williams to, hey, man, report to camp, work with us. Then we'll talk about giving you a bunch of guaranteed money. But I don't know you. I don't know if you want to play with me. And everybody hammered Ron. And I would say this. It didn't work out for Ron. Obviously, Trent went on to be great again in San Francisco. But I understood where Ron was coming from. You didn't have to do a contract. It's one thing if you have to. It's another thing if you don't have to. I'm taking over a regime. I need to know whether our personalities mesh. I need to know whether you want to work with me and I want to work with you and whether you fit in with what we're trying to do. Like, I know what you did statistically for all the analytics amigos. Got it. But you see where I'm getting at? I don't think that's that much to ask. New regime, new head coach, new general manager. Now, if Jacoby Myers leaves, that's Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers and Josh Jacobs within the last, what, year? That's a lot of premium talent. I mean, they got lucky with the tight end last year. Okay, that's great. But what else? All right. Let's do a trending alert right here, right now, and then we'll come back. I want to get into, again, a little bit of the Shiloh Sanders and Shador Sanders weekend to wrap things up here on a Monday on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so once again, Terry McLaurin and the Commanders have reached a three-year contract extension worth up to $96 million, and he should practice later on this week and be in uniform week one, September the 7th, against the New York Giants. He gets a $30 million signing bonus, reportedly, in the deal. No other figures have been announced or have been leaked to the media, so we will certainly see. McLaurin will turn 31 when the extension begins. He'll be 30 right around week two of this upcoming season. So certainly something to keep an eye on to see how his production goes. Meanwhile, elsewhere around the NFL, as the cutdowns are now about 24 hours away, the New Orleans Saints still haven't announced a starting quarterback, but they've released veteran running back Cam Akers in their initial cuts. He had been battling for a backup spot behind Alvin Kamara. Again, the Commanders have not made any cuts that we know of just yet. Meanwhile, tonight, baseball, Washington Nationals, 7:05, Yankee Stadium in the Bronx against the 70-60 Pinstripers. It will be Brad Lord on the mound for the 53-77 Nationals against 7:05 first pitch, 106.7 The Fan, and the Odyssey app. And that's what's trending.
Third and goal. Daniels on the slant. Caught. Touchdown. McLaurin. His second of the half.
Yeah, again, it was about improving in the red zone for Terry McLaurin. I mean, sure, he caught touchdowns out of the red zone. Got it. Understood. But it was the so-called compressed area getting off at the line of scrimmage, different releases, different ways to run routes. Yes, Cliff Kingsbury helped. Yes, Jaden Daniels helped. Remember, weeks one and two, it wasn't so great. People were screaming about, you know, Terry being on the right side all the time. Or was it the left side? I can't even remember at this point. But people were up in arms. I mean, part of, again, scoring and being productive, yes, is moving around. And yes, taking advantage of matchups. But it's also the ability to get open and create a little separation and to use your body in a different way. And I think Terry did all of that much better. Not to say he did none of it in previous years. Of course he did. Everybody remembers that leaping, kind of twisting catch on that horrible pass by Taylor Heinicke in Green Bay, right? I mean, everybody remembers that. So, anyway. All right, so I wanted to do this. Look, I got yelled at a lot, no surprise to anybody, on Twitter from a bunch of people that were mad at me because I thought Shiloh Sanders, the younger son of Deion Sanders, should have been ejected in a tussle with the Bills tight end, who I've never heard of, in the preseason game, Bills-Tampa, on Saturday night. Shiloh Sanders cold-cocked him. Just wailed on him with a right hand. The Bills tight end certainly initiated, engaged, drove him down the field, battled with him, held onto him, grabbed him, and in some way, like without the ability to blow things up beyond just regular TV, I've watched the replay 20 times. I could make an argument for, I could make an argument against whether or not the Bills tight end actually threw any sort of punch to draw Shiloh Sanders' attention. Again, his attention was already drawn, I should say. But to send him over the top, I could not clearly see it. A lot of people pointed out, it was 4 seconds into the video, this, that, and the other thing. I mean, I can't read everybody's tweets, but I heard y'all. And I responded to a bunch of you. Probably too many, but I did. I did not think what the Bills tight end did rose to, hey, Shiloh Sanders is going to throw a roundhouse right, a hook, a Mike Tyson hook. I did not think it rose to that. Now, I'm not in that fracas. I'm not in that altercation. Again, I couldn't clearly see the Bills tight end throw a punch. And I don't think anyone else could. Except for those of you that claim the media is out to get the Sanders family. Stop. Just stop. Stop. Nobody's out to get any family. Nobody's out to destroy young Shiloh and young Shador and Daddy Dion. Nobody is out to destroy anybody. It's called reasonable criticism. It's called when you get to Cleveland after getting drafted in the fifth round when everybody said you should have been a late first rounder, early second rounder. Hey, pal, don't get two speeding violations. Huh? How about we drive like within the letter of the law? How about we do that? How about we not make music videos and attack venerable reporters? How about we not do that? Okay? And how about we not get sacked five times on Saturday, which is what Shador Sanders did, and then throw a stink that you got benched for the two-minute drill? Please, enough. Both of them, as far as I'm concerned, the NFL does not need them. The NFL's got enough issues to worry about.
I mean, to be fair, Rooster, I feel like that's where you kind of like,
does the NFL need them? Are you going to not watch the NFL because Shiloh and Shador aren't there?
You're kind of like saying it just with them, though. Like the NFL doesn't need 99.9% of their players.
They need Nick Allegretti, man.
Yeah, sure. Okay. I think that the criticism and the backfire for your comments, I think they come from like just your harshness towards them. Because I saw the play where on Twitter where you were talking about Shador's pass. And at the end of the day, the wide receiver dropped the ball. Are there things that he could have done better? Yes, but the wide receiver dropped the ball. I think that it's just you go overboard with the criticism a little bit. And
I'm so glad that you're here to like police him.
Yeah,
Lord knows.
Not just with Shador, though. It's a lot of things, but in this specific instance.
I had to read your commentary on social media all last night. Yeah, stupid Shiloh throwing a punch.
Did I say stupid Clearly, Shiloh?
You said something that was distasteful.
Shiloh acted like an idiot.
How did he act like an idiot? He was a participant.
He threw a roundhouse right.
That happens so often in games, though.
It happens so often in games.
Yeah, ejected.
He was in a spat with a guy.
Guys get ejected.
Not all the time.
He got grabbed by his face mask, and he retaliated.
You can't do that.
You can't grab people by their face mask either.
It's a penalty. It's not an ejection. It's not an ejection to grab somebody by the face mask.
He shouldn't have got ejected. I think it was taken way over the top.
Yeah,
you and Jordan Schultz. What are you guys sipping on Starbucks together?
Brewster, I don't disagree. Like, if he got ejected, if he didn't get ejected, there are instances where people smack people's helmets
and don't get ejected.
Yeah. That's not unheard of.
Hey, Mac, I love you, but slapping a helmet, maybe even a forceful slap is different than a roundhouse right. I mean, Shiloh.
It's dumber.
Well, yeah, but Shiloh threw a Mike Tyson in his prime type hook at the Bills tight end. Now, the Bills tight end was a pain in the ass, and he should have been penalized. He should have probably been ejected. Mm-hmm. Again, I did not clearly see. It was hard to identify. I watched it 20 times. I did not clearly see him throw a punch, but I could see what people thought may have been a punch. But there was no gray area on Shiloh Sanders.
Hey, Mac, are we surprised defending the upstate portion in New York? I mean, this should not be a shocker at all in terms of what side he's taking. I mean, he is New York through and through. He is the industry plant. He is the Chris Russell.
I mean, look at who's wearing Giants gear today.
Oh, I know. Trust me. They got their own problems to deal with. Because if I was Ozempic Dable, Jackson Dart would be starting. There's no way in hell. I'm looking around with Russell Wilson.
Just going back to Shiloh, I'm looking at the video. You're talking about you can't clearly see with the Bills. I can't clearly see it's a punch thrown by Shiloh.
What?
I don't see a balled up fist. I can see like his hand maybe extending. Yeah, I can see it. I don't know if it's a balled up fist.
What do you think? He's like a dancing bear?
That makes more sense. Why would you punch a helmet, Russell?
Dude, he wails him. He winds up and he goes, Wash.
You're Mr. Ratings, and you're going to say the NFL doesn't need Shador or Shiloh Sanders. Do you realize week one of the preseason on NFL Network, that was the highest rated week one of the preseason they've ever had? Why? Because Shador Sanders was on Friday night.
Based on 40,000 homes in America.
I mean, you're the one that talks about ratings.
And how ridiculous they are. But anyway, do you think Shiloh punched him, or do you think he... Whatever AMAC is saying.
He swung at him at his head. I don't call it a punch. It's like he swung at his head.
You know what?
With a helmet on.
But what is that? You're saying it was open hand?
I'm saying it's hard to differentiate a punch from a whack to the head. Either way, I think an ejection.
Let me give you a whack to the head as soon as we go to break.
Yeah, sure. I think an ejection either way. I mean, I can make the case for it. I can make the case against it. I don't think it should have been. I think there is gray area with that. Yeah. So I understand why the discourse online is the way that it is. Some people are going to view it as excessive. Some people are going to view it as what he deserved. But I think both sides have a point for sure.
If two guys are pushing and shoving, right, and like Shiloh would have gone, I don't know, maybe in an attempt to push him, would have gotten his hands and maybe it like. Connected to the front of his face mask, okay? I think that's reasonable to have that discourse.
Yeah.
When a guy wails on a dude, granted, dumb, and with a helmet.
Yeah, I mean.
We know he's not.
Well, here's the bigger picture. Shiloh didn't have a good preseason anyway, so like he was going to get cut regardless whether he threw the punch or not.
Fine.
He was terrible.
But now, okay, great. But now, like. What's the book on you? You were already undrafted, then you were cut, then you did this.
But he had this book in college, though. Like, at Colorado, he was looked at as a dirty player. Like, borderline dirty player.
Why would you, as a team, then go out and sign him and think that you're going to be able to,
Because the kid's got NFL traits. He's got some NFL qualities to him. And I don't know why you're acting like oblivious to why these two dudes should. Bloodline matters, man. Not just for the McCaffreys. It matters for other families as well.
Well, let's make sure Terrell Owens' son, who got a touchdown, let's make sure that he, yeah.
But, dude, like, that's the whole thing about Bronny James, going back to that. Like, you're going to bank on guys. Like, that's just the way the world works. Mm. Especially with sports, when traits are passed down from generation to generation, you're going to take a chance on a guy that has that type of lineage.
Okay.
You just would.
All right. Linnell Willingham coming up with Burgundy and Gold today. I forgot to play my interview with Brandon Coleman. That sucks. I got so caught up in the Terry news.
Looking at me remind you of Brandon Coleman? Did that like spark your...
No.
It's our guy.
No, I was just wondering who you're going to have.
Today?
Yeah.
We've got David Aldridge at 5:15 and then... we'll have the co-host of NFL Live, Dan Orlovsky, join us at 6 o'clock. So we got some stuff for you all.
I mean.
That's what we do on the Burgundy and Gold today.
Wow.
The heavy hitters. Come on, man. Did you expect anything less?
I mean, you love Orlovsky.
I'm just happy that.
How do you get Orlovsky on?
When you're the youngest in charge, Chris Russell.
I mean, we did show every week for a couple times a week. I never got the benefit of
my Rolodex, my extensive Rolodex
you're constantly ragging on. Your 13-person Rolodex.
You know, it's different booking the Rolodex when you're on when the lights are on still. So
okay,
it's different.
Okay. Coming up next, Burgundy and Gold today. Before that, Dumb Dumb of the Day. Right here on the Team 980. All right, everybody. Welcome back. So, yeah. You know, last week we talked about Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson and that saga at quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. And we just talked about Shedeur Sanders and Shiloh Sanders. And it may seem like we are ganging up on certain quarterbacks, right? But you know what's weird? They say we're ganging up, or I'm ganging up, or I just don't see it that way. But then Robert Griffin III comes out and says, oh, you know, this is terrible. They are doing something to tank for Mr. Manning down at Texas. And then Eric Dickerson comes out, the Hall of Fame running back, and says, hey, a good source told me that the NFL told teams not to draft Shedeur Sanders and then made the Cleveland Browns in the fifth round draft Shedeur Sanders. And I started thinking, you know, look, I get accused of often saying dumb things. Occasionally I say some dumb things, right? I don't think anybody that's done this ever has been crystal clean. But I pride myself on hard work, being educated, not saying dumb reactionary things, even though you might think they're dumb and reactionary. They're not, because you don't think. But what I don't go around doing is saying that the Indianapolis Colts are trying to tank for the number one pick, and that's why they chose Daniel Jones over Anthony Richardson. And then I don't make a claim that because the NFL wanted to make an example of Shedeur Sanders, they told teams not to pick Sanders in the April draft and then changed midstream after he'd slipped far enough to the fifth round because they said, oh, well, that's going to be a real big problem that Shedeur Sanders didn't get drafted at all. So he went on 570 LA radio, 570 in Los Angeles, and he heard about the messaging to teams through a very good source that was connected to the NFL. I can't tell you who that is because I'd have to kill you. And then Sanders, who was again selected in the fifth round, been projected to go in the first round, as we know, right? But had lots and lots and lots of questions about him. Again, the Dickerson said, I'll tell you this much. What I heard from someone in the NFL is that the NFL told teams, don't draft him. Do not draft him. We're not going to make an example out of him. And this came from a very good source. A very good source, he said. But then he went on to say, again, the NFL reversed course and told the Browns to draft him in the fifth round when he was slipping. That makes so little sense that I cannot believe that people actually take this seriously. Now, the NFL is dumber than a box of rocks, so I don't put the NFL behind them. But why would the NFL tell teams not to draft him? Why would every team listen? And then all of a sudden realize, oh, geez, Johnny, we have a problem here. Let's make sure the Cleveland Browns, yeah, they'll get it. After they've already drafted a quarterback. After they've already spent $230 million on a quarterback. After they've already signed Joe Flacco, traded for let's make them. You see where I'm getting out of here? All of these guys, Eric Dickerson, Robert Griffin III, you do you, but please leave us alone. We don't need you. We don't need to hear what you think. You're not good at it, and you don't make any sense. Yeah, I'm sorry. I know Eric Dickerson. He saved a friend of mine one time. Nice guy, I'm sure. Moody when he was playing. But, man, that's a really, really weird thing to accuse. As much as I like to beat up on the NFL, that makes no sense, does it? I don't think so. All right. That does it for us today. So again, Linnell's got a big show. He's got Dan Orlovsky. I don't have that in. He does. I don't know whose bread he's buttering. He's got the Orlovsky train coming on. Good for him. Make sure you stay tuned for that. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1. We'll see you then. Great to have AMAC back. Thank you for being a part of the show. If you missed any of it, hit up the podcasts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on the Odyssey app. See you tomorrow.
Thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.